Hey guys, and welcome to another Grayscale Gorilla podcast. Thanks for showing up, downloading, watching, reading, whatever you're doing here. Sorry, it's been a while. I'm not sure the exact date, but I want to guess almost a year since the last episode. And actually, I'm here, you know, in the live chat room here, talking with some people that are watching this live, and they're asking me, why the heck has it been so long? John from MotionWorks, like, why the break for the podcast and these live shows? You know, I used to do these like once a week, and it seems like it's been at least 6 months, probably a year since I've done one of these. And I don't know what's been going on. My brain tends to go in and out of things, and that's not the way it should be. You know, you should make a commitment and you should stick to it. And I've always talked about that. And part of my brain just said, you know what? I don't want to talk right now. I do a lot of talking, and as you could already tell, I haven't taken a breath yet. I do a lot of talking, and it seemed to me that there was a point in my brain that wanted to sit and learn more stuff and read more stuff and work on stuff and move away from telling everyone how it is and, you know, living a little and making sure that what I'm saying makes sense. Honestly, there may have been some things that I question, and it's maybe it's being old, maybe it's being an old guy and becoming old and wrinkly as I am, and maybe it's part of looking at what you say and what you talk about and going, am I saying the truth? Of course I'm saying the truth to my internal to my bearings, but is what I'm saying actually helping? And part of those thoughts kind of made me stop a little bit and double check and make sure what, you know, when I go on and on about going to school or not going to school and all that kind of stuff, I want to make sure I'm saying, you know, something that makes sense and something that is good advice and not just me yelling because I'm some young kid. But anyway, I'm back ready to yell at everything. Hopefully not yell. I've learned my lessons. Unless it's Star Wars, I'll still yell at Star Wars. And now that I lost half the audience by yelling at Star Wars, let's get going with the show, shall we? Thanks again for loading this, and as always, thanks for all the feedback and everything, and for all the live people in the audience. We're going to get to some live questions and get all this stuff going. People are asking about Half-Rez. Half-Rez is it just happened in Chicago. It was very successful. We had a blast. It's basically a Cinema 4D and motion graphics festival that we put on here at Grayscale Gorilla, and also Chris and Jack from Chicago C4D, and we kind of put this show on that was a lot of presenters. It was a lot of beer, and it was a lot of food, and we talked about different ways you could do your job. We had people showing really crazy stuff on how to use Cinema 4D and how to use motion graphics for not the typical things. You know, we had some iOS integration. We had a lot of really cool presenters, and we're hopefully going to have those up as well soon. So that was a blast. The event was great. We had over 100 people show up, and the events like that are a little bit of hopefully a mix of everything. You know, you can't sit at an event like this and with your laptop, with a laptop in one hand and a beer in the other, and expect to like learn a ton, right? Like normal learning, like sit down, take notes, right? It's not the venue for that. And I wanted to make sure, like, as we built this little festival, this one night festival, that it was a few things, that it wasn't a very like take notes kind of educational thing, that it was more of an entertainment thing. And it was also a little bit of, wow, I didn't know you could do that. I didn't know that Cinema 4D did that. I didn't know that After Effects integrated with Cinema 4D that well. You know, I didn't know that you could use Xrefs in that way to replace colors and do all this stuff. I didn't know you can export out of Cinema and make, iOS apps and integrate them and animate them and make them, clickable and touchable and do all this stuff. All those things were hopefully a way for people to sit and to kind of see what other people do with this software. What other people do with their job? And even that part of it. What do people... what do other people do with this technology? And am I interested in this stuff? Should I learn more about it? And then when you get home, you can actually pull up a tutorial. You could pull up a PDF. You could pull up something that is in detail. When you have your notes, when you don't have a beer in your hand, and you could study and learn more about this stuff. But you wouldn't be exposed to it if you weren't around all these other nerds. So that's one part of Half-Res for me anyway. Another part of Half-Res is basically the first hour, the middle hour, and the last hour, which is all the times where you can hang out and talk to other people that are there. You know, it's the community aspect of an event like this. And it's a reason I always, you know, kind of promote people to start their own local, you know, motion graphics club or chapter or whatever. It's a huge part of, you know, finding contacts and finding, you know, people that are interested in, you know, just interested in stuff that you do. But also that can help if you're looking for a job, or help if you're looking for an intern, or help if you're looking for an employee, or just help if you have a question. You know, it's really, really great to be able to be in a community full of people that are somewhat, you know, interested in what you're doing. So that's another part of Half-Res, is this whole concept of hanging out with other people and, you know, getting a beer, buying them a beer, or sharing a story and doing that stuff. So hopefully, and entertainment too. And, you know, nobody likes to watch the stage and see somebody, like, you know, go on and on or fumble or whatever. Like, hopefully it's an entertaining event where people can show you interesting stuff. We could socialize around and kind of be excited about your community and be excited about your job and be excited about the future of your learning and your process. So Half-Res, this was the first one. We did it up the road at a brewery in Chicago, local brewery called Revolution. And they make their own beers, and we had free food for the people that came out. Maxon sponsored it, so thank you to Maxon. They bought the food for the event, and also sent out somebody to present and help present and give out T-shirts and do all this other stuff. So thanks, Matthias, for coming out as well. Is it a yearly thing? They're asking in the chat room. We hope so. We hope next year it's even bigger and more stuff and more. Maybe that whole process of, like, having a big fun event where you can learn, you know, what is possible, maybe that is extended into a second day, where the second day you show up and now we actually get into the details. You know, the second day you show up without your beer, but with, you know, maybe some aspirin and a water and a coconut water, and then we get down, you know, bring your laptop, and we get into the details of how all this stuff connects. You know, get into the typing the actual numbers in and where the save function is and all this stuff, like the real technical details of what you just saw yesterday, and we can get those people to maybe show it. So yeah, we have some big ideas for how Half-Res can turn into something. So that was great, Half-Res. In fact, this poster here behind me, this big speech bubble, is signed by everybody at Half-Res. And we even had these cool little faces. Our buddy made these pixel faces of us. And here's Chris. Here's my best Chris impression. Hey, Espresso. I know what I'm doing. That's my Chris impression. So why do I have two pens? Oh, okay. I have a Wacom pen and a regular pen. All right. Anyway, what else is going on? We have some questions popping up in the chat room we'll get to. And for those of you listening to the audio and not seeing video, I just held these, like, little one-foot pixelated faces that our buddy made up to my face. So there you go. That's the theater of radio for you. R14 update. So I said we're not going to talk about cinema, but let me give you a quick update on what's going on with Grayscale Gorilla, what's going on with the site. If you're not a Cinema 40 guy, you're just interested in me yelling, waving my arms around, you may want to fast forward a couple seconds. But R14 just came out in the last month, and we have tested all of our products and everything on them, and everything worked great, except for CityKit had a texture issue. And what it was a texture we actually weren't using, but it was in the specular color channel, and it was just while we were building CityKit, it kind of ended up in there. And then now that the new Cinema merged the Cinema or the specular color channel and the regular specular channel, they're now combined into one channel. it showed up as a missing texture. So we had an update to CityKit that you guys should have gotten if you purchased CityKit or you purchased a bundle that includes CityKit. You should have already gotten an email that has the upload link in it. If not, contact support. We'll make sure you're all set to go. We also have a ton of 14 tutorials that are up and also coming out. That's something I need to post today. I just remembered. We have an aerodynamics tutorial coming out today or tomorrow, and then we also have the plastics deformer tutorial that's up, and also a camera projection and the camera calibration tag tutorial. And that thing's a big one. It's 2 hours of taking the photo, how to set it up, how to calibrate it, how to build out the scene, how to model it, and a bunch of fun stuff. So those are up on the site, including the updates for CityKit and all that stuff. So we're kind of 14 heavy right now. I promise not all the tutorials will need 14 for those of you still on 13, which are a lot, by the way. I did a little raise your hand thing at the Half-Res Festival, and I would say, you know, maybe 10, 20% of the people are on 14. So I want to make sure most things can be followed by most people, most tutorials. Now, versions, of course, I can go back and forth, but not having the studio bundle, unfortunately, kind of turns off some of the new features and even some of the older features that are a year old. So we're trying to make sure that a lot of the tutorials kind of say, like, up front, hey, we're running the studio version and we're running R14 or this is possible in 13 or those kind of things. So look for that on tutorials coming up. Last thing about Grayscale Gorilla, we're working on this set of free tools. It's always been in the back of my head that there's a lot of little things that I do in cinema that I always do. In almost every tutorial or almost every time I try to make an emitter or make a cloner object, there's always like three things I click on at the same time. And now, recently, I've come to this idea, and with Chris's help and with the team's help, there's this idea now that, you know, anytime you click three buttons in a row constantly, that should not be three buttons you click. It should be one damn button. And this is why we have computers. This is why we have tools, so that we're not doing repetitive processes. We're allowing the computer to do the repetitive work for us, and we're allowed to sit and do the creative work. That's what these machines are here for. So anytime I find myself clicking, you know, or building something, for example, and this may not actually be in the tools, but for example, emitter. Every time I use an emitter, I open up an emitter and I rotate it and I add a sphere to it or whatever, let's say, and then I turn on instances and I turn show objects and I turn up the amount, and I also add a dynamics tag to whatever's flying out of the emitter. It's rare that I'm using an emitter without a dynamics tag. It's something I do all the time. You've probably seen me do it in tutorials. And now what I'd rather do is click on a dang button that allows me to build that over and over again. Because it saves time. Second of all, because it saves time. Every second saved is another second you can actually be working on what's important, which is the creative part and the making it look good part and the lighting part and the compositing part. And these computers are designed to get out of my dang way and allow me to be creative, and allow software and computers and chips and RAM and all this crap we're paying all this money to do the work that we don't want to do. That's the whole point of these machines, and allow us to do it faster, right? So we've been building these tools, and they've been really useful for me. I've been kind of using them and testing them and doing all this stuff, and so far they've been really cool. So we hope to have those out really soon. We're kind of figuring out a name and going to make a page for it, and hopefully get these tools out. They'll be free download for everybody, and hopefully they're tools that, again, speed up your workflow. They're hopefully things that do things in your workflow that you do over and over again, and instead of worrying about building this or saving this or doing this, you now have a switch to do it. And you know me, I'm obsessed with clicking buttons, so a bunch of buttons that speed up my workflow and that have nice little icons make me really, really, really happy. It's like little candy for me. But anyway, look for those soon. Enough updates, enough cinema crap. I wanted to let me hop into the chat room here actually before I get to my notes and see what the heck we got. People are asking me where the heck I am. I am in and this is I guess for video people only, but I'm in the closet basically. I'm in this little closet in the corner of the studio of the Bomb Camp studio, and it's where I work. I don't work in the closet, but this is the new kind of podcasting room or the Ustream room or the Skype room or whatever. You know, we all work in a studio that has become really popular for a lot of people, which is this big open loft space where all the desks are kind of around in a square. And, you know, you each get your desk, but you're really next to people. You can yell at people. They could yell at you. And it's a great creative atmosphere. But there's a lot of things specifically that I do, this being one of them, like yelling into a computer, into the internet, and talking really loudly about, you know, a tutorial or doing this Ustream stuff or podcasts and all these things where, you know, I don't know if they want to hear me yell for an hour. So this hopefully will be a room where other people can use it. Other people could come in and do their screencasts or tutorials. You know, we have Chris here that does tutorials. He can come in, plug in this microphone, bring his laptop and do his tutorials in here as well, instead of waiting till he gets home. And I can hopefully do it too. So maybe this is a loud room. You know, right now it's kind of a brick thing with we got some bookshelves over here and whatever, but hopefully we're going to decorate this up a little bit, soundproof it a bit more too. And this is hopefully going to be the loud room. So that's where I am. I'm in the loud room. We need one of those like cool little recording lights outside, like 37 Signals had. That's what we really need. Got to write that on my note, because that was great. I could turn on my now like recording or live button, and it was a big red light that turned on. That's pretty good. All right. Well, let me see here. Let me see what else we got here in the chat room. Bum, 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 bum. So these cues move around. All right. The pixelated faces. That's pretty good. Married next year. Oh, wow. Okay. So Scott says he's getting married next year and could lose a few pounds. You're a very lean man. He's talking about me, my sexy body. I'm a very lean man with strength. With these little, thank you for saying that. What's your secret? Also, how many Eggo waffles can you eat in one sitting? I'll tell you, your answer, Scott, is in the question. Get the Eggo waffles out of your face. Carbs are not great if you want to look good in a suit at your wedding day. I've moved away. I've done pushaways, like my dad says. My dad says really what the people that want to lose weight are missing. They're not doing enough pushaways. And then you go, well, what's a pushaway? So like some sort of workout term. And he goes, no, you need to push your ass away from the table. And that's a good dad joke. And so, you know, push away from the Eggo waffles. Push away from the carbs, from the toast, from the bread, from the you know what? Beer full of carbs. Can't stop drinking it. But you know what? I kind of trade that in. I also ride my bike to work every day. I am not the peak of fitness, by the way. There are much more healthy and much more fit people that have way better advice for you, and I'll let them I'll let you read a book about that. But all I can say for me is I'm hopefully blessed with some metabolism that won't go away as I become old, and I ride my bike to work, and I drink so much coffee that my leg shakes constantly. Oh, you know what? And I sit on this ball. I sit on a bouncy ball. This isn't translating either to audio, but I sit on one of these yoga balls. I tried it, and it feels great. And, you know, I got my back problems that it's fixing and all this stuff. So, I don't know. Try one of those things. Thanks for the question, by the way. Wow, that was great. I didn't even have to beg for, like, non-cinema questions. Let's see here. Cut out the sodas. Dude, that's a big one. I did that I can't stop drinking iced tea and coffee. But boy, yeah, cutting out sodas. I hear that's big. I did that a few years ago. That's got to help. All right, let's see what we got here. Rod. Oh man, I'm gonna screw up your name, Rod. So I'll just call you Rod. Rod's asking about my standing desk. I had a blog post out a while back about my standing desk, and I tried it. Maybe I'm one of those guys that has to try all the new fads. Once all my friends are trying it, I have to see if it works. But it made sense to me. I had back problems when I was younger, had surgery and all this stuff, and luckily I've for the most part been fine. I could run around and catch football. I catch like one football per year, and that's my example for some reason. I'm fine for the most part, but if I sit in a chair too long, and especially slouch in a chair for too long, even a fancy chair, it can tighten up. And frankly, it's also really easy for me to like do my work and then kind of sit there and roll through 20 YouTube videos out of nowhere like an idiot, like a brainless idiot. And maybe I'm learning something through these videos, but maybe not. June 2012 fail compilation probably isn't really teaching me too much, by sitting on a ball, you're like, I can't really sit on this thing for hours at a time. You may want to just get your dang work done and then stand up. And that was kind of the idea behind the standing desk was, stand up, do your work, and if you want to sit down, well, do your dang work, and then go take a break and sit down and eat and read something or listen to a podcast or whatever. Go take a break, and then stand your ass up and get your work back done, and it would kind of make work a little more precious because you just physically can't stand all day. It's gone. The standing desk is gone. I think what happened is it was working well. I was working at home for a long time using the standing desk. Worked really well when I was building that pinball machine stuff, and I was moving and tinkering all around. I didn't have to sit and get up. I could just kind of tweak and bend over and do all this stuff, and it was great. It was working really well. But then I started working here, where there are no standing desks, where I guess I could have maybe built one, but I kind of eased into working here. It wasn't full time right away. It was kind of a couple days at work, couple days here, couple days at work, a couple days at home, couple days here. And as soon as I ended up here full time, I just kind of moved out of that, and I had a desk across from me. Chris sits across from me. If I had a standing desk there, his eye level would not be comfortable. Let's just say that. It just didn't work out, and I felt fine. I felt comfortable, and what I ended up doing was getting this yoga ball, dude, and I think this is kind of the best of both worlds for me. So anybody else out there that in the chat room that tried the standing desk and is still doing it? Because I know I talked a little bit about it. And for those of you asking, thank you for asking me these questions, by the way, but I feel silly answering some of these, but they're asking about my cold shower, which I've been taking for a year and a half, which all this stuff together makes me sound crazy, but I promise I'm not crazy. I'm just hopefully one of those guys that wants to try and try different things until they work. And this yoga ball is working for me now, and the cold shower is working for me now too. That's been over a year, and I've been doing it. I've probably taken two hot showers in the last year, almost a year exactly, I've been doing it. And it's fantastic. I can't recommend it highly enough. It wakes me up. It speeds everything up in the shower. You're in, you're out. It just makes my skin so silky smooth, as you can see. What else we got here? That was great. Holy crap, Dave's here. Dave's in the chat room. Hi, buddy. Thanks for coming, man. Drake is asking me what I think about Hackintoshes. Hackintoshes seem to be taking off. I don't know what I don't know anything about them other than, technically what they are, that they're basically a cheaper way to get a Mac. The hardware could be a lot more expensive for some of the same stuff when you get a Mac, and so people are buying and building their own little Macs to run it. To me, I don't see the point. Part of having a Mac is having the support. Part of having the Mac is walking into the Genius Store and having people help you. Part of having a Mac is knowing what all the parts are inside of your machine and upgrading when you want to upgrade and downgrading when you want to downgrade. And not having to wait for some second, third party to rebuild the thing, the install, so that you can work. It's just back to PC days, which seems like Mac has always been the place where hopefully you go to buy a computer so you don't have to worry about a computer ever again. It's like, and I know this analogy is overdone, but it's like buying a car and having to know how to do everything on your car. And if that's the kind of person you are, then that's great. Then that's the kind of person you are. But I don't think most people want to buy a car and have to know how to rebuild their engine. And what I'm seeing is with a lot of people with the Hackintoshes is they are learning and they don't even want to know. They just wanted a cheaper computer. But now, you know what? They need to go sit and rebuild their engine every few months to make it work. That's been my experience, and that's been a few of my friends' experience with building them. There's somebody in the office that has a Hackintosh that he's always having issues with. There's another friend of mine that gave up his Hackintosh, just bought a damn iMac like he should have. And you know what? It's not right or wrong. It's that they don't want to be computer people. They want to get their job done. They want to open After Effects. They want to open Cinema. They want to open Ustream and sit here and do their work without worrying about upgrading, without doing stuff. If you're a nerd and you want to take apart your computer like a rifle and put it back together and you want a Hackintosh, thumbs up, go do it, read the forums, get the install, go at it. But I think for most people, their focus, While it could be both, while it could be that they are computer nerds and they also want to do, you know, motion graphics or whatever, I think that you should choose which one you're most focused on and do that. If all you want to do is sit and learn After Effects or Cinema 4D all day, I would get a machine that runs without you having to rebuild it or worry about it. If you want to know how to rebuild stuff and hack stuff together and that's your mentality, then by all means, go do it. But for me, I want the Mac. I want it to work. I want it to get it home. And I want to call somebody if there's a problem and not have to literally hack it together. It's in the name. If you don't want to hack it, then don't get a Hackintosh. Too many issues. Thank you, ManyVox. There's too many issues. All right. Let's see here. Ken is asking about V-Ray and my light products. That I've been talking about this for a long time. I know I've been saying this a lot, but it's big on my mind to get V-Ray versions of the light kit and V-Ray versions of the HDR Studio Pack out. And potentially, if this goes well, is textures, V-Ray textures as well. So I've been using V-Ray more and more. I've been playing with it. So I don't know when or how, and I hate talking about stuff that's not out yet. I'd rather just put it out there, but I am looking into it. And V-Ray is really fun. It's really tedious and slow, and it could be very slow. Maybe I have to learn a little bit more on how to optimize it, you know, and I'm sure I'm screwing something up, but it's really fun. It's beautiful. It's just beautiful looking. Let's see here. Sower, feel free to drop me an email. For sure, man. V-Ray. Do I have a demo reel? I do have a demo reel. It is way out of date. I'm talking way out of date. I'm talking 2008 out of date. And if you want to see it, you can go to Creamy Orange. CREAMYORANG.com. I think that's the first website I ever bought, creamyorange.com. That's been my portfolio forever. And you can go there and hopefully it's all there. And you can see my 2008 demo reel, which is, I made that one when I was working at Digital Kitchen. And there it is. Like I said, what is it now? 6 years out of date? No, 5 years out of date. Almost 5 years out of date. let's see here. Let's see what we got here in the chat room, maybe. I thought I saw a good one. Make sure you drop a Q before all your stuff if you see it. If you want to drop a question, just hit Q and then hit colon and drop it in there. All right, let me check my notes here on some stuff. Oh, so this is something I think I've talked about before, but I've been using it more and more lately, and it's the idea, and it's not my idea. I stole it. Who do I steal this from? Probably Merlin Mann. That's probably a really good guess. I've been listening to a lot of him lately. he and me, I run my to-do list off my calendar. And I know there's a lot of other maybe better ways to run this stuff. It's been helpful. It's been helpful for those situations where you're staring at a project you know you should be working on, right? Let's say I'm working on a new tutorial, or I'm doing this Cinema 4D thing, and you're just like stuck, and you know you've been in there when you're like stuck with something, and you're just not like you're not engaged with it, and like you're changing a song on your iTunes, or you're like checking Twitter again or Facebook again or whatever, and you get that whole like mental block on stuff. Well, I've been trying to catch myself lately and then head over to my calendar and see what the heck's on it, because I have tons of little things on my calendar now that are just silly little things. Write so-and-so an email, or change this thing on the website. Like, as I see things that need to be done that I can't physically do right now, I'll just put it on my calendar like a day later, especially things that aren't urgent. They're not urgent, but they need to be done. You know, like there's a misspelling on a page from a year ago on the website that somebody emailed me and let me know, or it's silly stuff like that, or call your mom, you know, whatever it is. Like, yeah, it doesn't have to be right now, but tomorrow let's take this, you know, let's get this taken care of. Make doctor's appointments and crap like that. Obvious, you know, things you know you need to do. So what I've been doing is, as those little projects come up where I'm just kind of stuck, I just need a break, you know, instead of like checking Facebook for the 18th time like an idiot, I go to my calendar and I go, oh, okay, you know, I can send this check to somebody, or I can write this email, or I can, turn this switch on a website, or update my profile, or make a new reel, for crying out loud. You know, it's been 5 years. And that's been really helpful for me. It's a silly little tip, and I'm sure you've heard it before, but the other thing a calendar to-do list does is it keeps you from making a to-do list that's like 50 things long. And it kind of limits you to how much you could put on there, especially if you're in like month mode. I just keep it in month mode, type it in, and you can only fit like, you know, 5-6 things on there. And you know what? If I go to put something on my list today and it's already full and I can't type it in because it's full of 5-6 things, I move it. I go, this, you know, if I don't move that one, I'll put that in there and I'll look through the list and I go, which one of these things can I do another day? And that sounds like procrastination, but if you get 5-6 of those things done every day, you can move it a day. And you can keep moving it. Now, if you move it over and over and over again, what's a good one? If make new reel has been on your to-do list for the last 2 months, and you keep pushing it forward every day, you go through your list, you're like, I didn't get this done, let's move this to Friday, and then Friday comes, you didn't get to, and then next Friday comes, and you move it again, and that's been on your list for like a long time. Do not let that happen. If you move something more than twice, you need to look at it and go, well, do I really want to do this? Do I need to do this? Maybe it's something I know I should be doing, but if I haven't done it in a month already, 2 months, I obviously don't want to do this. So either do it that day, do it the next day, and if you move it again, just delete it. And if you really need a reel again, you'll type it. But just try to keep that stuff clear and use your calendar as a to-do list. I don't know. It's something that's been helping me out a lot lately. I guess that was on my little. I don't know. People in the chat room are recommending to do, which is spelled T-U-E-X-D-U-E-X, to-duh. I've seen people use that. I like the idea that there's just one list. The calendar has, you know, am I going to be gone that day on it? I could just schedule it easy. It's just less software to deal with. Let's see here. Tuhin, and I'm going to screw up all these names. Tuhin, let's say Tuhin. Sorry, buddy. He's asking how to be creative, Nick. And there's always this kind of question in a lot of shows like this, and people say, like, how do you create stuff? How do you be creative? And I think there's technically ways to be creative. But I think for the most part, it's however you're creative. I think some people are more creative than others. I feel like there's no secret to it. But, you know, stupid exercise would be, pick an animal and pick a food, right? And we all get these exercises. My buddy Jim I think he calls it the theory of creativity, or the relative theory of creativity, or something like that. It was some talk he was giving, and he's like, this is how your brain works. And I think this is totally true. He goes, you know, I think it was over booking bands, I think is what it was called. And what he had was books that had band titles in them. And if I was smart and if I was literate, I could probably name some funny ones off. But go type in booking bands into Google, and you'll probably find that. But what he said was there's two ways to do this. Either you find a book you know, and then run through the list of bands in your head that might fit. Until one of them is funny or one of them fits, or you go through the list of bands in your head and then you run through the things of books until one of those is funny or fits, and what comes out of that silly exercise, which is almost like a technical exercise, you get creative things out of it. So try forcing yourself to play that game. When you're in a white box and you have nothing there, just say like, hey, I'm gonna use a food and an animal. And I'm going to combine these things together somehow and think about that and try to use this. Or I'm going to pick a color and four objects and make something out of it. Putting limits on what your tools are makes me much more creative than having no idea and having everything at my disposal. And putting really, really strict limits on things really helps me out a lot. You know, pick a color, make it monochromatic, make everything orange, make everything gray, make it all black and white, make it all out of something. And you know what? Maybe you'll get something simplistic, and maybe your mentality is not simplistic, but at least you're moving in the right direction. And if it has to be more technical, you can make it more technical. If it has to be more deep than that, then that's you. But for me, limiting, options are how I get creative. There's just no other way for me. And you know, when I tell my brain I have to do it this way or this way, something comes out. Whether or not it's good or bad, something comes out of it. So at least get something out, something like that. Bro, let's see here. Fan Rosa says, is Grayscale Gorilla done with photography for good? The photos are still up. If you go to So Grayscale Gorilla started as a photo blog way back, 2004. If you go to grayscalegorilla.com/photos, you'll see a site that was the original Grayscale Gorilla, and I put up a photo a day, and I'm sure you've heard this story 100 times, but yeah, it's still up. Am I done with photography? No. I've been doing a lot more photography lately for textures, for cinema, for this project we're working on, for doing HDR 360s. I'm getting in all that stuff. And of course, I still bring my camera around and do portraits at friends and at weddings. We have this photo booth we set up. And photography is still fun to me. But I think what happened was, it was really interesting to me when photography was like early on and everybody was like learning it, right? It was one of those things that digital photography and having a camera wasn't what everyone had. And now everyone has a camera, and there's tons more better, way better websites than mine, and better photographers that are giving away their how they do their work and showing you how to make beautiful photos. And you know what? I was lucky to be a part of that. But frankly, now that there's so many better and greater ones, you know, I don't see a need to do that. You know, and now I'm learning stuff that I don't know from these people. Where when I had the site originally, it was just me like trying to figure all this crap out on my own and then upload it as a tutorial or as a photo or whatever. And I think that's where my brain is much more interested in those types of projects, where it is early on, where nobody knows exactly what to do, and not everyone has access to this information, and hopefully I can help more. You know, look at Cinema 4D. It's getting much more popular. There's more sites springing up, and I'm just sitting here trying to learn it with the few sites that are out there, and there's way more and more and more even this year. And then hopefully I could put out something and teach you guys something. But you know what? There might be a time down the road where there's way more talented people using Cinema that are way more entertaining and way more educational. You know, it's the reason I try to get other people on the site and to show you new things. It's because that is what's interesting to me. Playing with the stuff that isn't already written out and trying to get some sort of, you know, idea or roadmap out there for somebody to follow is much more interesting to me than just repeating, like, you know, use aperture mode and get out there and work and take a lot of photos. You know, that's if you want. Which reminds me, if you want my entire photo lesson, use aperture mode, get a wide lens, and go shoot 100 photos a day, and you'll get better. That pretty much sums it up. Oh boy, see, that's me making sweeping reductive statements again, and you know, it's not that easy. It isn't that easy. I should stop doing that. Sweeping reductive statements. That should be the title of this podcast. Let's see what we got here. Is Chris, Mike, or Simon doing new tutorials? I know Chris is. Chris just came out with his, actually, the aerodynamics tutorial that'll come out today or tomorrow is going to be Chris's. Thanks for the question. And I think we're running about the right time where I wanted to do this. It is wonderfully, wonderfully perfect weather here in Chicago. It is the type of weather where warm coffee or hot coffee, I should say, starts to taste very, very delicious all of a sudden out of nowhere. Where I just hate hot coffee all summer, and right, boom, just like that, it's 65 outside and warm. Hot coffee is so tasty. It's where I might even get a latte. You know, I treat myself here in the fall. Fall is my favorite weather, and that's where Chicago is. And if it's fall in your part of town, get out there and enjoy the leaves until it's cold and awful again until you get skiing, and that's what I'm going to try to do. But it's beautiful. I'm going to go, I'm going to go take a walk today. Take some texture. We've been working on this texture, a lot of new texture stuff lately. So source material is key, baby. And we've been taking a lot of, why did I say it like that? Key, but it's like a hockey announcer or something. Key, baby. Source material. Getting out and taking photos has been a big part of my day recently with all these textures we've been making. And I'm looking out here. We're in this like industrial area of Chicago, kind of West Town, if you're familiar. I'm going to go take some photos. Wow, I think I went through the whole thing without talking about pinball. We'll do that in another podcast, I promise. Pinball's not dead. In fact, I could hear them. They're playing pinball out in the studio right now. And I'll answer a couple more questions here in the chat room. We'll get the heck out of here. Now the pinball questions start coming out. Let's see what we got here. Pixelated faces. How were those pixelated faces made? A friend of ours made them, actually, and I have no idea. He used Illustrator, which is an Adobe product that is totally baffling to me. I think I know how to draw masks and draw vector shapes and he made these in the Illustrator. Why so many different Adobe products have so many different key commands for the same exact thing? I'll have no clue. But somehow I get into Illustrator, and it's like somebody took my left arm and put it on my right arm, and vice versa, and then put my pen in my left hand, and put my keyboard on the back of my head, and told me to go ahead and make something, and everything's backwards. And you know, for smarter people that learned how to use Illustrator, maybe not. But boy, oh boy, Illustrator. Yeah, what a good way. I'll end with this, which is a question I still get, and I think I've answered a lot, but I hopefully will answer this for the last time, which is, are you going to do real critiques again anytime soon? And I used to do these real critiques where I said, you know, first of all, send me your reel. Second of all, we're going to critique you, or I will critique you, or me and another artist will critique your reel, and hopefully for the better. We're going to say what we like, what we don't like, what we think could be better, what we think is out of place, what we think can be swapped, what we think can be improved upon, deleted, how the music goes. Just like give our general reaction, and honestly give you the reaction that you get anyway when other people look at your reel when you're not around. They're going to sit in a circle and they're going to watch your reel and tear it apart. I thought this was a great idea. And I went ahead and I started doing reel critiques, and people found them helpful. And I think they were helpful for the most part. And I think they're still helpful. I think somebody can come along and do that and be honest and not be mean about it, but be just very honest about what your opinions are about a scene or about how it's composited or all this stuff. And I think what I realized for me was it wasn't what I wanted to do. I didn't want to sit and tell you how much better you could be. And I know we need more of that out there. And I'm always torn on this. I think there needs to be more people out there that will tell you how it is, or, you know, that's a silly saying, but, you know, to tell you what they think, to tell you what they will say behind your back that they won't say in front of you. And I've always thought I was the type of person that could do that. And I am. And that's why I started doing the real critiques. But I think overall, there's just too many people in too many different places in your career. And you know what? If you are just starting off and you send your reel, you're in a much different place than somebody that's been doing this for 5 years and sent in their reel. And there's just too much of that interpersonal stuff that matters when you do a critique that I cannot get at by just a URL. I don't know how long you've been doing this and how if you've just transferred from, you know, After Effects to something else, or those types of things. For me, it was not something I wanted to do every day, and I think it's still useful, and I think there's still room for it, and it's just not something I'm ready to do right now. Hopefully, I can be more of a cheerleader in this situation. I want to get you guys excited about stuff, and I don't want to sit there and tell you how crappy your rotoscoping was, and how you're using justice again. You're using justice still in your reel. Stop it. I don't know. I wasn't happy with that. You know what? I stopped doing it. So anyway, there you go. Okay, guys. That was a show. Heck, hopefully we'll do more of this. If this is your first time listening, it's been a long time. Head over to iTunes or wherever you subscribe to podcasts and search for Grayscale Gorilla, and all the old ones should still be up and hopefully listenable. And leave a review if you have any advice or whatever. I don't know. But there's some hours of me rambling on. If you like this, you might like that. Anyway, I will see you guys in another podcast real soon. I'll see you in another tutorial, whatever you're up to. And thanks again for listening. Have a good one, guys. Bye, everybody.